time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for joining us again for another edition of Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and again, we have the privilege of having Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church with us. Always exciting to have Wes with us as we look at and explore many of the Christian doctrines of our faith, what we believe, who we are, practical theology, all sorts of issues pertaining to the Christian life. And let me just say, you are welcome to send in your questions. If you have any questions for Wes and I, you may email them through our website at lindenurc.com. Go to the radio link and there's a access to email there for you to email us. You may also give, and we'll leave our numbers here at the end, you may give Wes or I a call, and we would be happy to discuss any of these issues with you. For the last few weeks, we've been considering the doctrine of justification by faith alone, a beautiful doctrine of the Christian faith. I guess as I just think about what I said, doctrine, even doctrine today, Wes, has become a sort of dirty word to many, many people. Why is that? Why has there been such a reaction against doctrine? What has happened in the church today that we would be sadly rejecting? Simply, doctrine means teaching.
Yeah. Well, I think it's this age-old dichotomy or opposition that people set up between deeds and creeds, right? People say, we don't want doctrine, we don't want teaching, we want to do something. And I think Rick Warren, too, you know, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, has also said that we need a new reformation, not a reformation of creeds, but a reformation of deeds, where we need to get out there and we need to be doing things. I think people in our culture are just tired of thinking. They're tired of reflecting in a serious way upon anything. There's a real superficiality in our culture and in our day. And I think that spills over into many Christian churches.
Yeah, a key verse in Ecclesiastes is, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? We have to be agreed upon what we believe.
Exactly.
And doctrine simply defines for us what we believe concerning the articles of the Christian faith. One person says doctrine, I remember reading in a book how divisive doctrine is. Well, amen. Doctrine does divide. It divides sheep from wolves, truth from error. We could go right down the line. Without our doctrine, we have no distinctives as who we are as Christians.
Exactly. And you know, you get these people who say, you know, we have no creed but Christ. And then you want to ask these people, well, which Christ do you believe in? Is it the Roman Catholic Christ? Is it the Christ of the Unitarians? Is he a moral teacher, just an example? Or is he the Savior revealed in the Bible?
Right. Not every Christ is a true Christ. There's only one true Christ. And so our Lord even warned us of false Christ that would spring up. How will that attack be? It'll be in what we believe concerning who Jesus is and what he has said in his word. That's why we're hashing out these key articles of justification and today sanctification.
To borrow a slogan, know what you believe and why you believe it.
That's right. And we want to keep people and motivate people to deep thinking in the Word of God, not the shallow spirituality that is so prevalent today. Well, last week we defined justification, and the justification is when we come to Jesus Christ and believe in him, God grants to us and credits and imputes to our account the very righteousness of Jesus Christ as if we had never sinned or been a sinner. Now, that's often confusing for people when we often hear in many calls of the gospel, this is what you must do. And so the cart is sort of put before the horse, mm-hmm. where good works are then confused with the doctrine of justification. And I would contend, Wes, that today we need to go back and start with justification with people. So often we're telling our young people how to live and what to do without asking that first and fundamental question, do you believe in Jesus?
Exactly. Because justification encompasses the promise of the gospel. You believe in Jesus Christ and you will be right with God. And it's a one-time event. It's a declaration of God once and for all. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself less right with God, more right with God. You believe, God declares that you are right with him.
Right. And so then when we come to the issue of good works, we have a whole different motivation for doing good. Our motivation for doing good is to understand that none of my good works have earned anything before God, but that since he has already declared me righteous and that Christ has done everything necessary to pardon me and to release me from bondage to sin, now I have this burning desire to serve him out of gratitude for so great a salvation.
Exactly, Chris. And you know, you think of the letter to the Romans. I mean, it's so clear in that book. The book starts off in the first few chapters describing man's sinful condition and his need for a Savior. And then the Apostle Paul goes into the Savior, Jesus Christ, the gospel, that we have salvation through him alone. And then towards the end of the book, then Paul moves into a different mode. He starts speaking about our response to that beautiful gospel. And we find that in Romans 11:33, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Paul comes with these words of praise, you know, verse 36 as well, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. But he doesn't stop there, because in the next chapter, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that sacrifice that Paul is talking about, that's a sacrifice of thanksgiving, showing our thankfulness to God with our entire life. That's the response to the gospel.
Yeah, what did Jesus say when that woman had come to him and poured the alabaster flask over him and broke it over his head? You know, he then went on to say, he who is forgiven much loves much.
Exactly.
It is the natural outflow of somebody who's received the forgiveness of the gospel. And Wes highlighted the structure of Romans. You know, this is not the only place that's found. Ephesians does the very same thing. Mm-hmm. You have in the first two chapters of Ephesians what we would call the indicative.
Right.
The indicative is what Christ has done for us. And so he describes this being chosen in him before the foundation of the world, having redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins by his grace. You get into chapter 2, you have the wonderful truth, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he goes on to describe how he's brought the two together, Jew and Gentile, making us a part of the house. In chapter 3, he discusses the mystery. But then in chapter 4, the rest of the book is application to the wonderful truth of justification by grace through faith alone and all the benefits that come through being in Christ. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called.
And you can't get rid of that therefore. That word is there for a reason.
Right.
And it's our thankfulness, and it's our love for such a wonderful salvation that we've been given through Christ.
Right.
And so that doctrine of justification by faith alone inevitably bears fruit in our lives, and it's the fruit of thankfulness and the fruit of a heart that's just passionately in love with a God who loved us first.
Right. You know, now, Wes, the argument could be raised. In Romans chapter 4, we looked at this last week, we read the statement, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then he goes on to describe here, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he'll go on to say, how was faith accounted to Abraham for righteousness? And he goes on to make this whole point. It was not by the works of the law.
Right.
Now, we come to the book of James. And James poses something a little more challenging for us. When we come to it, initially we read this, and he says this in chapter 2. For what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, and he goes on to talk about deeds here, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And then he goes on to say, you see then that a man is after he talks about Abraham, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Do we have a big contradiction here, as some would say?
It certainly looks like it at first glance. The exact word is used not only in English, but also in Greek. And so it does, at first glance, look like a contradiction. But when you look a little bit closer at that word that's used for justified, you find that there are, in fact, two different ways that that word can be used in the Bible. One is in the sense of being justified before God, and in the sense of being declared right by God, having a right relationship with God. The other sense is being vindicated before men, before people. And there are two different contexts here. Paul is clearly talking in Romans about the way that a man is right before God. Nobody is going to question that. In James, we find a different context. In James, the context is faith showing itself to people, right, on the horizontal plane, being vindicated, having your faith vindicated by what you do.
Right. Paul was looking and dealing, going out, the gospel going out to the Gentiles would speak of justification by grace through faith alone before God. James had his back to Paul, you might say, and was dealing with how can we show the world that we are right before God. And we demonstrate that through the good works that we do. But it doesn't in any way merit any sort of righteousness before God. We are justified purely on the basis of Christ's righteousness. So justification and sanctification are connected, but never confused.
That's right. There's two different questions in Romans, right, and James, and two different answers, and that's how you explain it.
Wes, tell us a little bit about Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we have our services at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays, and if people want more information, they can go to our website online, www.langleycanrc.org. People can also call me, 604-220-7718.
Thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, our desire in our brief time together each and every day here on Abounding Grace is to encourage you in Christ, and we trust today's broadcast has done that, even in a small way. If you have questions or comments about today's program, maybe a thought or two about what we've discussed today, would you please contact us? We'd love to hear from you. Your letters and phone calls mean a great deal to us. It's a great way of encouraging us as we seek to encourage you in Christ. The phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, please stop by our website. We even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there that you can review and listen to at your convenience. LindenURC.com is the website. Again, LindenURC.com. And as you stop by, would you drop us a quick email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. Again, the phone number, 360-318-0429. And if you would like to join us for worship here at United Reformed Church of Linden, we're located at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions and the map are located at our website, lindenurc.com, or you can call us, 360-318-0429, for those directions. And if you do visit us, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the broadcast? That would encourage us a great deal. If you'd like to write to us, just add Abounding Grace and the zip code 98264 to that address, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, and we'll be sure to correspond with you in kind. We do thank you for joining us today, and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.